Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we're going to talk about therapeutic tools for healing, their history, and where they came from. My guest is Dr. Barry Sears. He's a chiropractic physician, and he and I practice together in Astoria. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, therapeutic tools have been around for thousands of years. The original ones were touch, massage, manipulation, and hot and cold water, getting in baths, submerging, rubbing, moving things around. And over the last couple hundred years, there have been, I mean, 300 years, there have been the introduction of more advanced technologies that have taken therapy into a whole three real particular realms. We have electricity, sound waves, and light waves are the three principal new things on the block, in addition to massage manipulation and hot and cold.
Well, even the old, one of the old ones is just, being out in the sunshine too. I mean, all these things have a certain kind of physiological effect. And what you're trying to do in treating people is, take advantage of those things to help the things heal up better.
Right.
So you're talking about using, obvious things that are used all the time would be like ice packs if someone sprains their ankle or something and the thing swells up.
Or their neck and their back.
Or wherever they're hurting. Mm-hmm. And when they have trauma, you have soft tissue damage and inflammation. So what you're often trying to do, or generally speaking, trying to modulate that and get it to circulate so it'll sort of clear away as quickly as possible.
Right. And pretty much all therapeutic tools are aimed at reducing that inflammation.
And that's the key to pain. It's swollen, it hurts.
That's right. And one of the ironies is people love to put heat on things that hurt, and it usually makes it worse.
Well, if you look at the aspects of using hot and cold, people love heat because it's comforting and it's pain-killing. So that's nice because you put heat on, kills the pain, feels better. Trouble is you put heat on an inflamed thing, you actually increase and aggravate the underlying inflammation. So when the pain-killing effects wear off from the heat sedation, you have more inflammation.
Right.
And versus ice, where people think, oh, brr, it's cold, it's not so pleasant, but it shrinks swollen tissue and helps reduce it and alleviates pain, but it's not comforting, so people don't tend to want to reach for it. So we hear it all the time. Oh, yeah, I put a hot pack on my back for a week, and boy, it felt good when it was on, but it hurts when I take it off.
Well, and the other thing that's so damaging or potentially damaging when you put heat on a spinal complaint is you can take a simple back sprain and turn it into a horrible radiating nerve pain down your leg that is very difficult to deal with.
Or in a case
comes with heat.
Or a case that can be worse than that is actually somebody rupturing a disc, then hitting a nerve root, causing the nerve root to be inflamed, and heating that up will also aggravate that complaint,
right,
and make
you
it
can
much,
take,
much worse.
Take a pretty simple, straightforward problem that's very easy to handle and make it a surgical problem by adding heat. So my suggestion is, if you have an owie, don't put heat on it.
Now, as a general rule, that's a good idea.
Even if it's like you get smacked and you have a bruise, you put ice on it, pain goes away. You have a cut, you put ice on it, goes away.
But in terms of just therapeutic things you can do, obviously one of the first thing is just massage. People, even when they hurt themselves, they'll rub on the area that hurts. And so all kinds of massage therapy, just sort of expansion on that, having somebody else do it. You can be doing light touch, deep touch. But in that case, many times you're trying to do a similar effect on an injured area. There's inflammation and you're trying to mechanically move things around, increase blood flow, increase the removal of lymph from the area or other kinds of things to, again, reduce inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, when a person feels better, that's part of what's occurred.
Right.
And the most popular drugs, in quotes, you know, for over-the-counter stuff is anti-inflammatory medications because they also inhibit inflammation, but then they have difficulties of side effects because they will irritate your gastrointestinal system, and there's a lot of problems related to that.
Well, increased risk of heart attack and stroke.
Mm-hmm. And elderly, that actually, sadly, it actually handicaps and injures people quite severely as they get older, especially from chronic long-term use.
Right.
So today we're going to try to talk about, you know, some very specific things that are more modern, and those would be the forms of electrical energy using that, ultrasonic energy in the form of sound, or another one would be using laser therapy, which is a very particular light form. So
let's start with electricity.
And electricity, you know, these used to be, when they were first messing with electricity, some of these things came into parlor tricks of, you know, using like an old thing, you know, you take a rod and a balloon and rub it and you can create static electricity, or, you know, kids shuffling all across the floor, building up a charge and then touching somebody and they get a spark. And they was used in other things, too, when they had generators and other things. You could produce an electrical current, and again, mostly kind of to play games with it. But
you're talking about like in the 1700s.
Way back when they first didn't even know what it was. It's just, you know, something interesting to use. But nowadays, we have very specific kinds of electrical usage, and those would be in the forms of powerful energy that can actually cause muscular contraction to much lower energy forms like transcutaneous electric nerve stimulators and microstimulators that use a very low dose for different therapeutic effects. So the most obvious one we use all the time is a thing called a surging sine wave electrical
muscle
device,
stimulator.
A muscle stimulator. And you can put two electrodes on a muscle area, turn on this device, and it'll cause the muscles to contract and relax. And it actually is a kind of, it takes over your electrical function, and you can do all kinds of things with that particular kind. And a lot of it's used on muscle spasming and things like that to try to enhance some movement in an active way, but the person's still, the electricity makes things move as opposed to the person moving around
and
themselves.
The advantage is if they have an underlying sprain or injury to joints, doing this gives them pain relief without aggravating their joint.
Well, a really interesting side thing of that is even when you have paralysis or a person loses control of their neurological function, you can put electrodes on muscles and still stimulate them to prevent them from atrophying away due to lack of nerves. I mean, with a famous actor who was Superman, Christopher Reeves, who was paralyzed from their neck down, had a lot of electrical therapies to try to keep his muscle mass somewhat more intact.
And actually, near the end of his life, he was actually up and walking with assistance because he had all that stimulation.
Well, you have those really new things of the different robotic devices or other stuff where they're trying to, you know, use more and more of a connection between electrical systems and brain function. Amazing stuff's coming that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then now taking it smaller from plug-in current down to a 10, a little, like, looks like a cell phone. And you can wear it, you know, you don't have to be in a doctor's office for that. You can be anywhere. People could go online and buy a TENS unit for a very inexpensive price and put that on an irritated area, like a chronic whatever.
Those try to do less of actually a contracting effect like you would get with the more powerful units that are plugged into 120 volts. These things run off 9-volt batteries, and they basically put an electrical stimulus to alleviate pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not so much of a healing effect, but people with chronic pain can put these things on and abate their pain versus using medications, which have their own difficulties.
And there have been some pretty good studies with TENS controlling pain, all kinds of different pains, whether it's extremity pain, spinal pain, pretty effective, and obviously no side effects except some, you know, long-term use, you can get some irritation in the skin under the pads. But aside from that, nothing serious.
And then the other interesting electrical form is the microcurrent therapies, which use a very low dose current, and they have a whole different stimulating and healing effect, really very fascinating in regards to fractures, especially non-union fractures. They've really found by putting a very low dose current across an area where a wound wasn't healing properly, that stimulation would actually produce a body's reaction and heal it up.
And we've been using microcurrent for fracture healing for years. It's pretty amazing. Microcurrent on a new fracture can take the pain out within 12 hours, and pretty much you just leave it on. You know, you can leave it on 24 hours a day, except, well, when you're in the shower. And no more pain. And within 2 weeks, pretty much the fracture is healed. And that's the fastest, you know, right? The traditional is take 6 weeks to heal a fracture, not with microcurrent.
Yeah, there's amazing things that you can do with these devices. And it's funny because, you know, one time it's just electricity's been around for a long time, but it's only more recently that people really found a way to use it. Even some of the other devices we're talking about today will use electricity, but to produce a particular, totally different effect than this muscle contraction or a nerve stimulation or right. a healing response from microcurrents.
Now, on microcurrent, one of the things that's different about it than like either wall current or a TENS is that it's pretty much non-sensory. You don't feel anything, so you don't think anything is happening until it has a desired effect, whatever the desired effect is. A lot of times it's pain, and you think, how can it do that? I didn't feel anything happening, and it's one of the weird things about
it. It makes it seem more ethereal, like what could be going on. But right. when you're also talking about these more powerful units, you put those things on and turn it up, you can really feel the electricity traveling through your system with the more powerful units. Even the mm-hmm. TENS units give you this electrical, slightly tingling, burning sensation. And then again, the micros are so low of a dose, it's below your threshold of sensing it, but mm-hmm. it's still there.
Right. Well, microcurrent is at the amount of electricity is at millionths of amps, which is at the amount of electricity that the body runs on. So it's a really, really low level. But apparently that helps the ions line up to promote healing, especially along where a fracture is.
Well, part of the studies on this thing was looking at polarity in the human body, sort of having your body has a natural polarity from head to tail and from central outward with a positive and negative poles. And what you're really trying to do is stimulate activity along those polar coordinates, and microcurrent is the most fine-tuning of these kinds of stimulations, really down at the level where your body is functioning. The more powerful ones kind of take over, and they override your body. The microcurrent actually works at your body's energy levels, mm-hmm. more specifically.
And microcurrents come in little, small, portable kinds and big machines that a person wouldn't have at home but would be in some kind of doctor's office.
Well, the big machines usually allow you to modulate the energy more variables you can do. You can alter the frequencies and intensities much more with the big units than the small ones.
And yet, it is amazing, one of those, and they cost a little bit more than a TENS, but man, if you have a fracture and you want to get done with it, yeah, it's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about ultrasound therapies and laser therapies. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Barry Sears. We'll be right back. We're back. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Barry Sears. He's a chiropractic physician, and we're talking about therapeutic modalities. And therapeutic modalities versus doing exercise in the acute phases of an injury is an interesting distinction. A lot of times when people are put on exercises when they have a new problem, they can't do them, and they make them worse. And yet they could have a therapeutic modality or several and improve greatly quickly. And so we're talking about some of those modalities that do that. And we just talked about electricity. Now let's talk about ultrasound.
So the next thing we're talking about is ultrasonic therapy. And this is a very extremely high frequency sound waves produced by this fancy sounding name of piezoelectric effect. And this is a case where with ultrasound, you take a quartz crystal and you expose it to an electronic impulse. And then that quartz crystal will harmonically vibrate and emit an ultrasonic sound wave of extremely high frequencies. People, when they're looking at piezoelectric, you know, these little sparkers you see when you light things on charcoal things, you push a little button and it sparks. Mm-hmm. It's another thing of a piezoelectric. But ultrasound itself is using this harmonic vibration that you can only transmit it into human tissue by using a gel. It won't travel through air as a dry...
Or in water. If it were an extremity.
And a lot of people, when they think of ultrasound, they're thinking of a diagnostic ultrasound where you can actually see something by using a small laser impulse, and it sends in a echo off tissues and sends a rebound back to an imaging device, and they're used in hospitals to look at babies or gallbladders or whichever. But therapeutic ultrasound uses a much larger head with a larger amount of energy going into the tissue, and it sonically agitates and shakes up the molecules inside of your body. There's two ways it can be used. You can use it continuously, where it's just putting out this constant stream of the sonic energy. And when you apply that to tissues, it can actually have an effect to warming up the tissues inside. That's the thing you have to be careful with, because, again, it acts like heat and can cause more inflammation. And you can do another thing with ultrasound, is just to pulse the impulse so it's going on an on-off level. And I read something recently that was new to me. This produces actually a cavitation effect in the body, where little micro bubbles are agitated inside the tissue, causing movement, modulating pain, and reducing inflammation.
Wow. Well, there's one... one of our fellow doctors in Portland had a patient with calcific bursitis in his shoulder, and he was scheduled for surgery, but the surgery wasn't going to happen for about 3 weeks. And the doctor said, well, why don't we just put some ultrasound on your shoulder over the next 3 weeks before your surgery, just to give you some pain relief and maybe give you a little bit more motion until you can have the surgery. And the day of the surgery, the guy shows up, and they did an x-ray, and they looked at it and said, the calcific bursitis is gone. So we never had the surgery. And that is exactly what happened. The ultrasound moved all that garbage out of his tendons of his shoulder and healed it up.
Well, when you're looking at tissue damage, and it's really a pretty simple process, you rip tissue, and then the ripped tissue has fluid from the surrounding area infiltrating the site, causing it to swell up on you. When you get that stretch, you get pain. So obviously, if you tear it really badly, you have a huge amount of tissue damage. But many injuries are much more subtle than that, and the tissue is less severe. I mean, a classical thing we'll often treat is this carpal tunnel or tendonitis or subacromial bursitis, where a person cannot lift their arm over their head. Interestingly, when you use pulsed ultrasound on that relatively quickly, a person will regain movement of their shoulders when initially they couldn't lift their arm up at all.
Right. There are two other applications of ultrasound that people probably haven't heard about. One is for bruises, and it could be any bruise, but mostly people wouldn't think of it for, you know, you bang your arm and you have a bruise on your arm. You wouldn't use it. But a severe, thick, deep bruise any bruise will resolve with ultrasound quickly. And it is amazing. As you're putting it on, you watch the bruise change color and start to resorb. And you can take a pretty significant, thick, awful thing, and within a week or two, it's pretty well resorbed. It's pretty exciting. And the other case where ultrasound is really like magic is a surgical scar. People that have had surgeries know that there is often scar tissue attached to the wrong thing, and you get ripping and pain with movement after a surgical scar, particularly abdominal. And ultrasound breaks up those and permanently gets rid of that problem, and it's pretty quick.
Well, you can think of scarring tissue like glue. Glue sticks everything together, and what ultrasound does is try to kind of make the glue less sticky, I suppose, make it more flexible, and you can actually take scar tissue and sort of make it less congested and more flexible.
Right, and that's pretty exciting. So those are the a lot of the applications for ultrasound, wherever there's pain, inflammation, things not feeling right.
Well, you know, given time, maybe anything would tend to heal. You're just trying to, with these sorts of things, accelerate the process. So you just basically have the recovery time be much shorter if you apply these than if you just leave it alone. Some people just wait, and often what we'll get is a person says, I've been waiting around, it's not getting better. What do I do now?
Two or 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah. If you wait 2 or 3 weeks and it's not better, get some help.
But if it gets better within a week, you know, it's probably not of much consequence in that sense. So you're kind of, you know, when should you do something?
I think it depends how bad it is.
Well,
right?
Very much so.
If you can't move a particular part of your body, you probably need some help. of some sort.
Or sometimes you even have nerve damage where things just don't work right. You're losing strength. You know, whiplash injuries can cause loss of grip strength. Some people will go, man, I can't open a jar anymore. What's going on?
Right. Get help for that. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to lasers. So this is light therapy and...
Laser energies, when people think of lasers, usually think of those red spotters you use for, like, in a classroom, you turn on the laser beam and it shoots this red light across a room. Or green ones for using in astronomy, you push this button and it's this bright green light. That's a visible laser. The therapeutic lasers tend to fall into a range outside of the visible. And generally, they're going to be sort of in two different areas. One would be infrared laser, which is more near the, if you're talking about light energy, you can have the visual spectrum from purple to red. Purple is very shortwave, and if you get beyond purple, you get into ultraviolet, shortwave. So ultraviolet laser is one of the ones used quite often in infrared lasers. And this light energy also has a particular effect. Ultraviolet laser energy is much more for using like wound repair or infection repair, where you can apply it to an area, and just as you could run a thing to kill microbes through an ultrasonic scanner to kill them, you can use ultrasonic laser. The one we use is mostly an infrared laser, which is a longer wavelength laser, and it is invisible and penetrates the tissue down to within 2 inches deep, and it excites the biochemistry in your body and accelerates metabolism. It has some very interesting effects. And again, you can modulate this form to do different things with it. But again,
and
you're trying to
and
produce...
And it's non-sensory, so it's another thing where you think nothing's happening. But it's amazing. You know, a couple of minutes of it on my upper back and neck, and my arm pain goes away. And almost immediately, and you go, whoa, I didn't feel anything happening except this thing is rubbing on my back.
And the laser we're talking about is low-level light therapy, LLLT. There are higher power laser effects that have somewhat more dangerous effects because they can cause tissue damage. They're so intense, you have to be very careful. The nice thing about the low-level laser is they really can't harm you because there's not enough energy to produce tissue damage.
That's good. There's always this balance between therapy and damage.
Well, even ultrasound used improperly can cook you inside. You have to be very careful with these things, but used properly, they're extremely effective.
And pretty safe.
And infrared lasers now found its way, it's relatively new to this country, but it's found its way a lot into some therapeutic circles of from everything from veterinarian medicine to professional athletes and other kind of rehab facilities using that energy to help tissue repair. Mm-hmm. Some of the interesting aspects of it is that this has to be a photon of energy that's actually absorbed by the cells. And it seems to have two, it's kind of technical, but it seems to have two specific things. One, it activates a cytochrome C enzyme in your body that enhances metabolism. And the other thing is it stimulates mitochondrial action to produce more adenosine triphosphate, the energy that runs your bodies. So it tends to pretty much accelerate your tissue systems and once again tries to enhance a healing effect that'll happen more quickly than if you are using some other
So
effect.
It reduces inflammation and speeds up healing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, all of these things that we've been talking about do that, and each one does it in a different way. Ultrasound goes in about 2 inches as
mm-hmm.
well.
Well, it can go in as, it can go as deep as 4 inches, depending on...
Laser?
Ultrasound can go in deeper with... there's a couple different wavelengths you can use in terms of how deep it will go. Well, the frequencies. The higher the frequency, the deeper the penetration. The lower the frequency, the more superficial.
Interesting. So, I mean, if you think of your body, about the thickest place... Well, might be like your one of your thigh muscles or your butt muscle. Those are pretty beefy. So you'd get all the way through. So if you had something really deep, I mean, the hard part in something that's really deep is to get there. And these things get there.
Well, even with ice, it's hard to get in deep enough if you don't go on for 20 minutes to a half hour. Otherwise, it's all rather relatively superficial.
Right. So if you have a deep, a deep... muscle injury in your thigh, It could be a couple inches deep where the problem is.
Well, another specific thing you're trying to do with these kinds of tissues, often you're treating tissue that's really not vascularized. You're talking about connective tissue.
Mm.
Connective tissue does not have a blood supply. It receives its circulation through the process of movement with a fancy name called imbibition. But that movement mechanically moves the synovial fluid or other materials around the tendons and ligaments. The thing with laser or ultrasound, it can actually get into these tissues and sonically promote movement or photonically promote movement in these tissues. And again, it's trying to drive away inflammation from these damaged sites so the tissue can knit back together and heal up.
You know, that's a good point, because those white tissues, the ends of muscles and ligaments between bones, have no blood supply. So they, when you take drugs, the drugs don't get, like anti-inflammatories, they don't get there. And people will often say, well, yeah, I've been taking piles of Advil and it's not helping. And that's kind of a clue that they have a ligament or a tendon problem, because obviously the drug can't get to the tissue because it can't get there by blood. If they have a muscle problem, they'll probably get pain relief.
Well, even interestingly enough, if you're hurt deep enough, even narcotics don't necessarily touch it.
Oh,
you still feel the pain. It's just you won't care as much.
Kind of like having a beer.
Well, kind of like having a beer or, you know. Other things that just kind of dull your senses out.
That's true.
If you dull it out enough, you won't feel it so much, but it's still hanging in there.
Right, it's still there, and you know it's there. And people report that they still hurt, even though they've taken 2 Vicodin.
Well, extremely deep pain when you get into fractures or nerve damage, it's really a core pain. I mean, it kind of hits you in your soul, and you can't get away from it because it's right in there.
Yeah, kind of like having a baby, being in labor.
Yeah, it's intense stuff.
But what the cool thing about even those horrible pains, some of these measures really cut the pain quickly so that people can, I mean, if you're in that kind of all-consuming pain, you can't really function.
Well, it's one, I think, crosses a certain level of damage. It really becomes beyond, you know, conservative methods. If you completely sever a ligament or completely rupture a disc and things are in the wrong places, pushing on the wrong tissue, sometimes you're going to have to do something really drastic. Somebody's going to have to get in there and cut and stitch and patch and or remove stuff. But with the injuries that do have an ability to heal given assistance, these things are extremely effective.
That's right. Yeah. And
well, you know, just when you're talking about using different things to help yourself, I mean, you just go back to some of the basics. And I think it's always, we were talking about that earlier, if you have an injury, it's a darn good idea to put some ice on it or carefully use some, you know, hot water or something like that, a hot shower, something along those lines. But you know, want to be careful, and you certainly want to watch out. If you put heat on something and it starts feeling worse, and you are just kind of cooking yourself.
Yeah, one of the things that people do, especially this time of year when they're cold, is they get in a hot tub. And if you have an injury and you get it hot, it will make it worse. I had a rib injury, I don't know, last year, and it kept getting better, and then I'd get in the hot tub, and then it would be worse, and then I'd have troubles. I'd take a hot tub before bed, and then I couldn't sleep because my rib was hurting. And I finally realized I had to stop doing that until it got better.
And yet it's fantastic when you just have muscle tension and you're trying to work on
relax.
That sort of a thing. So it really right. depends on which kind of inflammation and which tissue is going on. There's many valuable things you may use to try to help you get
Absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely. And I think if people, you know, aren't getting what they, you know, they're not getting better, try some different therapeutic tool and see if that helps. Thank you very much.
Well, absolutely. It's been fun.
Yeah. You've been listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I've been with Dr. Barry Sears, and we are both chiropractic physicians. And next week, we are going to do an interview from a woman in Peru. Her name is Ann Peterhoff. She is the developer of the Forest in a Box, and you can read about that this week if you want at growasis.com, growasis.com. She is doing worldwide reforestation with this cool box. You fill it up with water, you put your tree in it, and you don't have to water it for the rest of the year. It's going to be fun. Hopefully, we'll be able to pull that off. It'll be the first time doing an international interview. We'll see you in a week.